Hey there, my name is Ricky Smith, and I'm the founder of Random Acts of Kindness Everywhere, a nonprofit that simply does exactly what it says, promote kindness everywhere. We know the world is crazy right now. If you are searching for a podcast that has a deeper conversation about race, my co-host Angel Gray and I will be discussing everything going on right now on our podcast, Random Acts of Podcast, on Blue Wire Podcast Network. To find out more, go to rakenow.org. Enjoy the show.
Blue Wire.
Cousins, Thielen, he's got it!
Garoppolo over the middle,
intercepted, Harrison Smith,
it's caught!
All right, welcome in everybody, welcome to Bleeding Purple podcast about the Minnesota Vikings. I'm your host, Adam Patrick from thevikingage.com. We are part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network, and we are brought to you by betonline.ag. And as always, I'm joined by Eric Strack from minnesotasportsfan.com. And right now, Eric, I'm looking at a gift that's wrapped in pizza wrapping paper. So all I could think of to ask you to start off with is just, what is the ultimate pizza that you get, like when you order, you're like, oh, we got to get this pizza.
Oh yeah, I mean, if I'm ordering by myself and, you know, I have full say, and by the way, like, pizza is my favorite food of all time, I would eat it every single day, like Dave Portnoy, if I could. Like, to me, like, I look up to, I run my own company, so think what you want about Barstool and Dave Portnoy, but I look up to him for a lot of reasons because of what he's built. The best, the greatest reason might be the fact that he gets to eat pizza every single day and profit from it. And, like, it's the biggest deal ever. Like, his own app, like, he is the pizza connoisseur of pretty much the country now. And that is what I'm most jealous of, probably. But, I would say pepperoni, sausage, onion, preferably like the Minnesota style, like thin crust, like.
I didn't know Minnesota had a style.
Well, I don't think it's technically called Minnesota style, but I don't think I've really seen it anywhere else where it's like, it's thin. So when you go to a place in Minnesota that makes like, I don't want to say homemade pizza because every pizza place is making homemade pizza, right? But you know what I'm talking about. Like, not like the Pizza Huts of the world. Yeah, not. It's almost universal that it's flat. It's cut into squares. Like, it's thin crust. It's cut into squares. And it's thin for the whole thing. Like, even the crust is thin and crunchy. And so I don't think I've really seen, like, that's not Chicago style, obviously. It's not, you know, New York style. So, like, for me, that's, as far as I know, pretty native to Minnesota. So I kind of call it Minnesota style. But that's my favorite kind of pizza. But I love all kinds of pizza.
New York's pretty thin. It's just their slices are huge.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. I'm also a gigantic fan of pizza and wish I could eat it every day. I've been trying to as much as possible since I have a young child who loves pizza as well. So anytime we can have it, I'm going to take advantage of that opportunity. I think we eat pizza probably three or four times a week.
So jealous.
But it's like different. It's different kinds. It's like regular pizza, French bread pizza.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Pizza rolls. So we got an assortment. But yeah, my favorite kind of pizza, I think it's just like a supreme, but without olives.
Yeah, I hate olives too. My wife loves olives.
I don't understand the point of olives. They make the whole pizza terrible.
I know. I hate olives. My wife, they're her favorite topping. Ugh. Both kinds, green and black olives. But I don't get to eat pizza that often. And when I do, it's either like going and grabbing it by myself, or it's my wife will buy like the pre-made crust that's in the plastic packaging. It's not, it's, you don't have to roll it out or cook it at all. Well, yeah. Other than put the stuff
the
on
bubbly
it.
Or whatever.
Yep. And so we, yeah, so she likes that. And then, you know, we buy the sauce and it's okay. Like to me, that's like, if I was doing a Dave Portnoy pizza review, it'd probably be like a 0.5.
Well, he's been doing what? Frozen pizzas.
Yeah. Frozen pizzas in quarantine. But I think he just got back out doing real ones again. But yeah, it's, they're not very good. And those are her like favorite, like she loves those, but like Little Caesars, I love Little Caesars. Like the fact that Little Caesars pizza that you can get a Little Caesars for $5 is a miracle. It's it just it shouldn't even be feasible. It's funny. We had a whole podcast. We had a whole podcast about how great Little Caesars pizza is for the restaurant business. Because the fact that you can go and buy a $5 pizza that a lot of people other than you, a lot of people like it's not the best pizza. But it's decent. It's better than like frozen pizza.
No.
Yes, it is. Better than frozen pizza. The fact that you can go get that for $5, it brings the whole market down. Like McDonald's can't charge $10 for a value meal if you can go and get an entire pizza for $5. Like and the same goes for Domino's. Like, what do you think Domino's $7.99 deals come from? And they're six. That's all because Little Caesars right down the road is selling pepperoni pizzas for $5. So,
Good for them, much respect to Little Caesars. I'll take Domino's in a heartbeat over.
Yeah, and you can thank Little Caesars for how cheap your Domino's pizza is, Adam.
Well, thanks for that. But yeah, every time I've got Little Caesars. I like a couple bites in. I'm already regretting it because
how long has it been?
Oh, long enough.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
There was that Little Caesars Day or whatever was last year or the year before where they like gave away because of March Madness where they gave away the free combo or meal or whatever.
Yep.
And the one I went to was giving away free whole pizzas. So. You just walked in, they just handed you a whole box. I'm like, oh, okay, this works. So that was the last time, I think. And I'm fine with that. We live right next to an Italian restaurant, and they make ridiculous pizza, so we just get it from there.
Well, I'll give you a year. I was thinking...
And my wife's Italian, so...
Oh, nice. I had gone, like, at one point, like, probably 10 years of my life without eating Little Caesars. Like, and then when it was in college. I was like, $5. That's literally all I have in my pocket and I can eat for an entire day off of pizza. And so I went and got one and I was like, this is actually good. I can't believe this is $5. Like this, you mean this is cheaper than going to McDonald's and getting a quarter pounder cheese meal for $6.50. All right, I'm in.
Oh man, I don't know. I thought this was going to be a good partnership, but you know, Little Caesars, so...
We all right, let's get to with the pizza conversation until we got to Little Caesars.
Let's get to some Vikings talk. There's not a whole lot going on. Still some Dalvin Cook stuff going on, back and forth, rumors, whatever. He said, she said. But speaking similarly to this, I don't even know if I said that word correctly, but it's 6:30 in the morning where I am right now, so we're just going to go with it. So... Which Vikings offseason storyline are you just sick of talking about or just arguing with people about almost every day this offseason? What is, you're just like, I'm done. I'm done like arguing with people. That's it. I just talk about something else.
Well, if I had to be completely honest, I think it is a lot more difficult to find topics like that. In this current state of reality.
Yeah.
Like everybody, like give me anything to talk about when it comes. I'll talk Diggs. I'll talk Dalvin Cook. Let's talk Zimmer. Let's talk Spielman. You guys want to go back and talk Christian Ponder? Like I'm in. I've got nothing but time. I'll even talk depression. You want to go 2009 title game? We can. I've watched that a couple times on TV, which I wouldn't never normally do. But it's like, what else is there? What else are we going to do? What am I going to turn on CNN or Fox News? No, I don't want to hate everybody around me. So it's like, let's talk sports. So to be completely honest, I would say that there. I would love to talk about any sports topic at this point in life.
Not even here's mine. It's the for some reason, I think I saw a tweet on it as early as last week still, about who the Vikings should have, which quarterback they should have picked in 2018 between Case Keenum, Kirk Cousins, and Teddy Bridgewater. And I'm just like, Kirk Cousins is clearly better than both of those quarterbacks before then and after. So I'm just unsure what the argument is, especially since Case Keenum's pretty much fallen off a cliff and gone back to being who he was as a career backup, and Teddy Bridgewater, you know, he's getting a starting shot this year, but they didn't know if he was going to ever be able to play football again. So people are like, they should have kept Teddy. I'm like, no one would have kept him in that situation, especially the Vikings, knowing what they knew about his leg and his rehab and everything. It's still being argued, and it just, when someone argues that, it just makes me automatically think that person just is, I'm going to be as nice as possible, is incredibly stupid. So just immediately my impression of you just goes down the drain if you're going to still be arguing about that. And the people who argue it usually can't spell Case Keenum's name right. So.
Yeah, that whole argument, I guess I didn't think about the Kirk Cousins argument. Yeah.
That too, of him just every year.
It all blends together, right? Like the reason why people bring up Teddy and they bring up Case Keenum so much is because they haven't been able to fall in love with Kirk Cousins. Like, that's why. It's because Kirk Cousins, the people who really love Kirk Cousins almost love to like just defend Kirk Cousins. It's not like a personal connection. Like, people had a personal connection with Teddy, a personal connection with Brett Favre. Like, those two could do, like, Brett Favre and the text messages and whatever her name was. Nobody remembers that because they love Brett Favre, right? So it's like, that's what it comes down to. Kirk Cousins continues to get paid a whole bunch of money, and he doesn't have that same likability factor. And on top of that, yes, he's gone and he's proven things in the playoffs that shut down some of the narratives. But he's yet to really push a team multiple years into playoffs to take a team that probably shouldn't be a playoff team and make them a playoff team. Like, the things that you have to do to be considered a great quarterback in this league, he's yet to do, but he makes great quarterback money and he doesn't have that likability factor. So with all of those things combined, you end up getting a whole bunch of fans who still want more. And then they think about the quarterbacks that they really loved, like Teddy and Case. If Brett Favre still was rumored at all to be thinking about coming out of retirement, they'd still talk about him too. So it just, that's what it comes down to for me. It's more of a Kirk Cousins thing than it is a Teddy Bridgewater and Case Keenum thing at this point.
Yeah, and I don't know if the Cousins talk is ever going to go away. I feel like he could win MVP and people would still be like, well, it's because no one else played good enough.
Well, I don't know. I mean, those are the types of things, like, is it fair?
I also don't think he would win MVP because
that's the problem.
There's just too much negative.
I don't think he's good enough. To be honest, Adam, I don't think he's good enough.
Yeah.
What has he done in his career that makes you think he's going to go and win an MVP? Would I rather bet on him than some of the people who are picked ahead of him odds wise? Yes, I would take his odds and his stats. But more the chances Josh that Allen? Yes, I would take Kirk Cousins over Josh Allen. But even the chances that Kirk Cousins comes in top five in MVP is unlikely. It's possible. It's even plausible. But it's not likely. So he's not that transcendent player who can go and take it beyond like his personality and how much people like him. Like, look at Aaron Rodgers. Like, Aaron Rodgers is not a likable person. Half of Green Bay doesn't really like him. His family doesn't even like him. But he is good enough. Enough to where the Packers and their fan base, well, especially their fan base, they're not sending him out the door. A half of our fan base would send Kirk Cousins out the door if they had the opportunity.
I think I like Aaron Rodgers more these days because no one likes him. Just because he's like, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that. I've never really disliked Aaron Rodgers. When he made fun of Russell Wilson that one time, it really changed everything for Aaron Rodgers. When he came into that press conference, Russell Wilson, I don't remember what it was. They had just gotten done playing. I'm not a Seahawks or a Packer fan. I just remember this specific press conference because SportsCenter did like a shot back at what Russell Wilson did and then went to what Aaron Rodgers. And something had happened where Russell Wilson said that he doesn't drink soda or something like that. And so the next press conference that Aaron Rodgers did, he comes up to the and cracks a soda and like takes a big drink of it before like starting the press conference.
He had the grape crush too, right? After he beat the Vikings.
Yeah. And so like there's little things like that. Like I like stuff. Yeah, I like stuff like that. If he left the Packers, I'd like him just like Brett Favre.
But. It's a game. He's having fun.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd want to drink with him and bring him out and like party. He'd probably be taking care of him all night, but
yeah. I think in order for Kirk Cousins to finish even top five MVP, like you said, pretty much everything has to go right. Like, he just has to be on fire for the entire year, and he's shown he has, you know, points during the season where he can, you know, have a little hot streak, maybe five or six games, and then he'll cool down. But if he was able to do that for an entire season, yeah, I think he could finish at least top five MVP, but I don't know what that would take. But I do think being in an offense or the same offense for the second straight year is going to help him potentially do that. I'm not saying he will do that, but
agreed.
I think his chance of doing that is much better than it was in the past.
And if he had an offensive line, I mean, if he had a legitimate offensive line, then who knows? I mean, yeah, he could finish top five. He could even finish top three with a legitimate offensive line where he didn't have that worry in his head. But again, that's part of what makes him fall short of that transcendent player is that he needs that offensive line. He needs those weapons. He needs a running game. He needs an offensive coordinator who will structure his offense around the best things for Kirk Cousins. And that's part of what drives the whole narrative and what makes people want him out, especially for the type of money he makes.
Probably needs a top five running back too, which yes. The Vikings have and yes. They should keep.
Yes, I agree.
Before we move on to another topic, I mentioned in the beginning that we are brought to you by Bet Online. So there is no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners, BetOnline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back, and BetOnline is the leading way with the best odds and lines for all UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. And if you need even more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website. So looking for something else other than sports? BetOnline also has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out. So visit betonline.ag and use the promo code BLUEWIRE, which is all one word, for a free welcome bonus. That's one word, BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. All right, so I heard from a little birdie yesterday that there's a rumor out there that Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman have already had their contracts extended, and it just hasn't been announced yet for whatever reason. It's probably because there's other stuff going on in Minneapolis at this time that they don't need to be like, hey, we extend our coach.
If that's true, it's pretty insane that that all parties can keep it in house like that with all the vultures that are just itching for news right now.
It might be easier this time because everyone's at home, so there's not as many people who can like in the office that gets around probably, you know, as easily or whatever.
Yeah, that might be true.
But we don't know the terms or the length. But how much longer do you think the Vikings should give Zimmer and Spielman to I mean, the main goal is to win a Super Bowl. So how much longer should they be given to try and win a Super Bowl?
I don't know. I just don't know that it matters. Like, no? What if they give him? Okay, so it's probably
it's probably gonna, they can fire him anyways.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a 3 or 4 year extension. I'd imagine. I don't think that they're just going to go like the one more year again.
Well, let's say you can't fire.
Okay, if you could, if you can't fire them, then I'm not extending them at all.
Oh boy.
Like, I'm just...
Just see if they it's do just, well?
We've been doing roller coaster rides. Like, yeah. I'm not even saying that I fire them after this year if they if we don't make the playoffs. I might not fire them after this year if they don't make... But I want them to think that I might.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sorry, but... Like, they've been given everything by the Wilfs. And the Wilfs have trusted them, and they've given them the keys. And they've done a pretty good job. They have one of the most respected organizations, I'd say, in the NFL. Most of the players like to be here. So, I mean, they've done a good job. But at the end of the day, winning is what matters. And this franchise continues to have rosters that are capable of making it deep into playoffs. And we've done it a couple times. But, I mean... We haven't felt like we've been going, like, even when we made the NFC Championship, it didn't feel like we were ever going. I mean, outside of the first, what, couple minutes, like, it didn't feel like we were going to the Super Bowl. Like, we didn't get those butterflies like, oh my gosh, it might happen. Like, you know, it's that's what they were brought here to do, is win games. And look, if you're taking a team that has no expectations and you're bringing them into the playoffs, that's a different conversation, but we're done with that now. Like, you've been here long enough to where, like, we have the, you know, if we, here's the thing. If we fire Zimmer and Spielman, we might have 2 years where we're not as good.
Two, it could be a lot longer.
But that's, that. But if you're firing somebody, you're hoping you're hiring somebody else who's going to be able to turn things around and turn things into their own ship, so to speak, in 2 years and start looking back upwards, right?
I would just say, look at when they fired Denny Green, how long it took them to just recover into a decent franchise.
Agreed. So that's... I'm not even saying that I'm firing him, but again, I got to see something this year. Like, especially with everything going on, like, show me a team that wants to come, that is together. You know, some of these teams are not going to be together with everything going on. A lot of these teams are going to have difficult conversations. Some might go well, some might go better than others. It's going to be an interesting season. If you can show me that you can bring, with everything going on, especially even in Minneapolis, and you can bring this team together and you can make a playoff run and the team looks good, they look like they're behind you, I'm in 100%. I'll give you a 5-year extension when this year's over. But we got to have some consistency.
Yeah, I think for the most part during Zimmer's tenure, he's always put them in a position to contend or succeed or contend for at least a playoff spot. And it's just been, you know, at that time, it's up to the players to execute everything that they've been, you know, put in position to do. And I feel like I'm more maybe of someone who would rather have consistency than look for, you know, someone who can maybe take you to that next level, or take a chance on someone who could take you to that next level, because you just don't know. There's been guys like John Gruden, who the Bucks hired. Like, they got rid of Tony Dungy and they hired Gruden, and then they won the Super Bowl. And there's other people that have been like that, but I look at other teams like maybe the Bills and the Browns, who are just, you know, they fire someone every other year and they barely ever have a decent team because there's just so much inconsistency. And I know people don't want the Vikings to be like the new Bengals, where, like, with Marvin Lewis, they were, you know, they'd get to the playoffs every year, but they wouldn't do anything. I know people don't want that to happen, but if you stay consistent, there's still that chance of moving on in the playoffs instead of just, you know, sitting out of the playoffs for potentially 5-10 years and just having the franchise go in the drain by letting one of these guys go, or both of them go, because I think if one of them goes, the other one's probably going too. So
yeah, I agree with that part, but, like, for me, consistency, that's the problem. Like 2014, 7-9, 2015, 11-5, 2016, 8-8, 2017, 13-3, 2018, 8-7, 2019, 10-6. So come and show me that you can go 10-6 again, 11-5 again. Let's go to a playoffs and I'll give you your big extension. Yeah. But if you don't make the playoffs again and you go 8-8, oh, they were 8-7-1 in 2018. I forgot about that tie. But like, again, if you got to show me that you can be consistent year in and year out, like what is happening that every other year, it's like every year that you have expectations, you fail them. Like why? Yeah.
Well, that's the Vikings. That's been the history.
But that's the thing. Like, are we trying to change history or not? Right, like, right, you know, maybe I've been hanging out with PJ Fleck too much. But it's like, when do we stop thinking that that's the normal?
Right.
When do we stop waiting for that next shoe to drop?
Like, I think I'm not trying to make excuses for Zimmer either, but I think he's throughout his tenure, he's dealt with a number of different. Like difficult circumstances. He had the Adrian Peterson suspension. You know, he had his issue with the eye. You know, Teddy going down and trading for Sam Bradford. You know, and North Turner quitting midseason.
Yeah,
you know,
that is all true.
There's a bunch, or even in John DeFilippo in 2018, mm-hmm. that whole debacle.
But he pushed to hire DeFilippo probably because he wanted to know how they beat him in Philly.
Yep. He admitted he probably. You know, hired him too fast without knowing actually everything that he was bringing to the table. So he admitted that wrong, but I feel like he's dealt with a lot.
He has,
come out pretty well with what he has.
And I'm not, and again, I don't
even
want
Dalvin Cook going down.
Yeah.
2017.
And and you know, Mike Hughes went down. That was a big injury. Like I'm not disagreeing with any of that. And I don't want it to come off like I dislike Mike Zimmer. Like, no. I love PJ Fleck press conferences. I would take a Mike Zimmer press conference over PJ's any day of the week. Like, I love Mike Zimmer at the podium. I love how honest and real he is. Like, his players get the most mad at him because he's too honest to everybody else. Like, that's it. Like, wow, that's a terrible trait. Mike Zimmer is too honest. That's why we get mad at him. Like, I love Mike Zimmer. I hope he's successful this year, and I would love for him to go down as the greatest coach in Vikings history and go and actually win a Super Bowl. I mean, we love Bud Grant, right? Yeah. All of us love Bud Grant, but Bud Grant never won a Super Bowl. No. If Mike Zimmer goes and wins a Super Bowl, he is the greatest coach in Vikings history. I don't care about what all of the Bud Grant stands say. Like, if Zimmer wins a Super Bowl, he is the greatest head coach in Vikings history. I would love to see Zimmer be the greatest head coach in Vikings history, and I think he has the chops to do it. But at the end of the day, you got to show me that you can at least make the playoffs on a regular basis before I think that you're going to go and win a Super Bowl. So,
yeah, we'll see. Bud Grant did win an NFL championship. Okay, so
that is true.
That's true. That's what Lions fans use whenever they're like, "You never won any championship."
Well, I'll say this. He will be the greatest coach in since the AFL NFL merger.
Right,
Vikings
right.
history, that's Bud Grant coached after the AFL-NFL merger.
That's correct. All right, so we'll move on to something that's more, well, I guess the last topic was current Vikings, but more to next season. And there's a lot to look forward to about the Vikings next season. You know, got a bunch of rookies coming in, and hopefully Dalvin Cook is coming back, and some new additions on the defensive side as well. But what... After everything that's gone on in this offseason so far, what still worries you the most about the Vikings heading into the 2020 season?
Well, there's two spots for me. It's the offensive line and it's the secondary. Those are the two biggest spots for me. And the offensive line continues to be an issue and a worry year over year over year over year. And really, I mean, we want to talk about what's stopping us from winning Super Bowls or going deeper in playoffs or being more consistent. It's got to be the offensive line would be the first thing that you'd point to for throughout this entire tenure. But, you know, this is another year where if Mike Zimmer can come out with a top 5 top 10 defense like he does often, if he can bring these young corners along and make it, I mean, he struggled with young corners. So I'm very interested to see how quickly some of these young guys can come along. And I know some of them have already been around, so it's not like everybody's new, but I mean, some of these guys that are going to have to play important minutes have not played a lot under Zimmer. And you can look at some of the best that have played. Trey Waynes did not play when he was early on in his career very often. Same with Rhodes and boxing gloves and everything else. Like, it takes a little while. So I'm very interested to see how he does with the secondary. If he can bring them along quickly, if the offensive line can look better, then we're, I mean, not only are we a playoff team, I mean, we're fighting for a 1-2-3 seed in the NFC, and we're thinking Super Bowl all year long. That's, to me, those are the two question marks. Offensive line, secondary. Are they good enough? If they are, Super Bowl homeboy.
I think what worries me the most about this upcoming season is just their overall depth. Just because they have so many young players and guys who have had to learn stuff virtually and not been able to, you know, execute it or practice it on the field, it's going to probably put them behind. So just looking at some of the positions where, like, if the top starter goes down, then that position is screwed. You look at, you know, if Harrison Smith has to miss time, who's replacing him? Right. They have two rookies, you know, as their backup safeties right now.
And it's not like Harrison Smith is Kirk Cousins when it comes to injury history either.
No.
Like, he was healthy. He was healthy last year, but he's definitely had injury issues throughout his career.
And, you know, if Danielle Hunter goes down, you know, who's coming in to replace him? You know, I know they would still have Fede Odenebo, but, you know, who's coming in to replace a Danielle Hunter? Same thing with maybe like Eric Kendricks. If he goes down, I feel like that whole defense just isn't even close to being the same. And then on the offensive side of the ball, you know, what if Thielen gets hurt again? Then you got a hodgepodge of receivers that are inexperienced and you don't know if they're reliable. You don't have.
And I will be yelling at Rick Spielman every single week for not drafting Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, you don't have a Stephon Diggs
as he's pulling in 100 yards a game with Tom Brady in Tampa.
You don't have a Stephon Diggs this year to fall back on if Thielen or someone else gets hurt. So I think that's my biggest concern, is just like some of these positions. Yes, they have, you know, really good starters, you know, great starters, all pro level. But then, you know, one of them gets hurt, and then it just becomes really bad really fast.
Yeah.
So their depth, you know, could be good. It could actually be good. These young players, who knows? They could.
Yeah, it's going to depend on. Yeah.
Much better than, you know, people anticipate, and that would be great. But I think you have to go with history and how fast rookies are able to adjust the NFL. And this, we, you know, it's going to be even more difficult this year with not being able to have OTAs and mini camps and stuff like that. So just hoping players can stay healthy. I know it's not going to happen because it's football and people get hurt every week. Somehow Kirk Cousins doesn't. He's never missed a game as a starter, even though it's cream sometimes. Maybe that's sometimes he should go out, but
I that's the one thing about Kirk. He's
terrible.
He's
takes hits too.
He does. He takes hits, and that's why, like, I'm not sure what it is about Kirk Cousins that, like, and I'm not sure what he could do to, like, fix it, because at a point last year I thought that he might be able to pull off, like, the nerdy dad style, and that people would kind of, like, fall in love with, like,
he had the dad shoes and everything,
that nerdy dad, but it just never really happened. And it's just kind of weird. I think it's because, here's what I think it is: people don't like fake. And I'm not saying Kirk Cousins is fake, I'm not saying that, but he's asked to do things that he doesn't like to do and that he's not comfortable with when it comes to being a leader, like giving locker room speeches and giving pregame speeches and, like, being this leader. And you can tell just by the way that it comes off that that's not natural for him. You know, like for me, I wouldn't yell into my mic and like exclaim all of these things if it wasn't like that's just me. Like when you're talking, my wife tells me all the time, stop yelling. You're yelling at me for no reason. And I'm just telling a story. You know, I've had roommates. That's where my wife got it, is from my roommates interrupting me and saying, stop yelling, because that's just me. It's that's natural. For Kirk Cousins, that rah-rah stuff isn't natural, and it comes off that way. And I think that's part of what plays against him.
Yeah, I think it just all, he also comes off as like just trying too hard.
Yes. Yep.
Just, and then he's always smiling and always in a good mood. Like, get mad, man. Like, just get pissed off.
But then he gets mad at Thielen, and everybody's like, oh, don't yell at Thielen.
Yeah, right, right. And then Thielen comes out, and he's like, I'm glad he did that. And people are still like, yeah, but Kirk Cousins. Yeah. He shouldn't tell you how to do things.
Yeah,
I know. I'm still looking forward to this season. I think the Vikings can do a lot of things. But, yeah, there's got to be some worries. And, unfortunately, the offensive line is a worry. Again, I think if the Vikings fail to win a Super Bowl with Rick Spielman in charge, that's going to be one of his biggest downfalls, just never being able to figure out how to fix the offensive line. And I don't think it's been because he hasn't tried, because they've spent numerous draft picks, high draft picks, mid-round draft picks, low draft picks.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. If Khalil pans out, he's still playing for the Vikings, and we're not even talking about this.
Yes,
like
yes.
He's now a grizzled veteran who still has probably like 4 or 5 good years, decent years left in him, and you've kind of like placed guys around him that you think make the line better, and the whole line might be a completely different story. And you know that's something interesting to think about in this conversation.
The Vikings reached on Khalil.
No, he was cemented in that spot.
He was going to go that high no matter who was in that slot. So
yep. He was your next. Everybody was saying it. He's the guy that you can put on your line for the next 12 to 15 years and not worry about it.
And then
and have Pro Bowls year after year after year. And he had one good year. And then it just goes to show you, like, you know, they talk about baseball being a mental game. Like, every sport is a mental game. Like, if you don't have the mental capacity to like make that your expert professional job, then you are not going to be good enough. And it's not for Khalil. It might not have been that he wanted to go out and party, but something in his brain had issues confidence wise. And I think that's pretty clear. What's that?
Wanted to eat pizza.
Yeah. Well, he wanted to eat pizza, and I think he had a serious, his whole family, I think, has a confidence problem. Like, you can look at like some of the things that he said.
When
he
was good though.
His brother was good, and then now they're both out of Carolina, aren't they?
Yeah, I think his brother's been in the league for like 10 years.
Was he there longer? Okay, then
he played in the Super Bowl, I think, when they played the Broncos.
I won't put the filter over all Khalil's then.
Yeah.
But with Matt, it was pretty clear that he had a confidence problem. When he left town, he talked about how like he just got it too much from the fans, and then he wanted to go play with his brother because it made him, you know, clearly thought it would make him feel better playing with his brother, and that didn't really work either. Like, I think that Matt Khalil just had a confidence problem when he started to struggle, because he'd been so good for so long, and then he starts to struggle. He has a year where he's really good, but then struggle ensues, and then how do you fight that mentally when things don't go your way? And that not very well was the answer for Matt Khalil.
I thought he was on a team right now. I wanted to check. I thought he was on the Texans, but
he won't be by the time the year starts.
But no, he's not on any team right now. Because I think, yeah, he was on the Texans, and I don't even know if he made the final. Nope, he didn't even make the final 53 for the Texans last year. So it's been a great career for Matt Khalil.
Yeah.
Will always be on the, you know what? He'll always be remembered for, he'll be on those when they do those top bus
articles
and pieces.
And it's just weird, too, because he had that one great rookie year.
But you know what he can say? He can always be like, you know what? At least I wasn't as bad
as TJ Clemmings. So
that's true. That's true.
Poor TJ Clemmings. He just was never ready from the start, and he got just thrown into the fire and then just doomed.
Yeah.
Poor guy. But that'll do it for us today. Not too much Viking stuff to talk about. Hopefully next week we got some more. Hopefully, you know, maybe we'll even interview a former Viking potentially.
A very, very popular former Viking, one that has zero issues with the things that we just talked about when it comes to Kirk Cousins and likability.
Yes. Yes. Very likable. Very likable facial hair.
Yes.
So
likes to throw spears at things. Yes. That probably gives it away.
Keep an eye out for that. And as always, you know, follow the podcast on Twitter at Bleeding Podcast. And subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you know, iHeart, wherever you get your podcasts. Just leave us a review and a rating. Could be good, could be bad. Don't really care. Just would like to hear feedback. So thank you for joining us today. And until next time, we will talk to you later.
Bye, fam.